Chapter 2. Entirely Beloved Cromwell. Spring to December 1530. He arrives early at York Place. The baited gulls, penned in their keeping yards, are crying out to their free brothers on the river, who wheel, screaming and diving over the palace walls. The carmen are pushing up from the river, goods incoming, and the courts smell of baking bread. Some children are bringing fresh rushes tied in bundles, and they greet him by name. For their civility, he gives each of them a coin, and they stop to talk.
"So, you are going to the evil lady? She has bewitched the king, you know. Do you have a medal or a relic, master, to protect you?"
"I had a medal, but I lost it."
"You should ask our cardinal," one child says. "He will give you another."
The scent of the rushes is sharp and green. The morning is fine. The rooms of York Place are familiar to him, and as he passes through them towards the inner chambers, he sees a half-familiar face and says, "Mark?" The boy detaches himself from the wall where he is leaning. "You're about early. How are you?" A sulky shrug. "It must feel strange to be back here at York Place, now the world is so altered."
"No."
"You don't miss my Lord Cardinal?"
"No."
"You are happy?"
"Yes."
"My lord will be pleased to know." To himself he says, as he moves away, "You may never think of us, Mark, but we think of you. Or at least I do. I think of you calling me a felon and predicting my death. It is true that the cardinal always says there are no safe places, there are no sealed rooms. You may as well stand on Cheapside, shouting out your sins, as confess to a priest anywhere in England. But when I spoke to the cardinal of Killing, when I saw a shadow on the wall, there was no one to hear. So if Mark reckons I'm a murderer, that's only because he thinks I look like one." 8 anterooms. In the last, where the cardinal should be, he finds Anne Boleyn. Look, there are Solomon and Sheba, unrolled again, back on the wall. There is a draught. Sheba eddies towards him, rosy, round, and he acknowledges her. "Anselma, lady maid of wool, I thought I'd never see you again." He had sent word back to Antwerp, applied discreetly for news. Anselma was married, Stephen Vaughan said, and to a younger man, a banker. "So if he drowns or anything," he said, "let me know." Vaughan writes back, "Thomas, come now. Isn't England full of widows and fresh young girls?" Sheba makes Anne look bad, sallow and sharp. She stands by the window, her fingers tugging and ripping at a sprig of rosemary. When she sees him, she drops it, and her hands dip back into her trailing sleeves. In December, the king gave a banquet to celebrate her father's elevation to be Earl of Wiltshire. The queen was elsewhere, and Anne sat where Catherine should sit. There was frost on the ground, and frost in the atmosphere. They only heard of it in the Wolsey household. The Duchess of Norfolk, who is always furious about something, was furious that her niece should have precedence. The Duchess of Suffolk, Henry's sister, refused to eat. Neither of these great ladies spoke to Boleyn's daughter. Nevertheless, Anne had taken her place as the First Lady.